Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Huh? Happy Sabbath. There we go. All right. That sounds good. All right. Well, I haven't heard any stories yet about anybody eating pizza or anything like that, so hopefully you guys are making it through these days of unleavened bread and abiding the scriptures and abiding the commandment to not partake of any leavening at this time. You know, it's amazing to me as we have examined ourselves and we continue the process of putting sin out of our lives and understanding how what we have to continually be overcoming so that we can have the opportunity to be in the very family of God. Now, we've had the Passover, and we look to God and His immense wisdom to provide for us a greater understanding of how we are to heed the words given to us so that we can discern both good and evil. It is very humbling as we go through these scriptures to see how much we still have to, how much more we still have to learn and grow. But you know, being a part of just such a magnificent plan, when we think about the scope and the magnitude of what God is doing and what is at stake for you and for me, it should eliminate all doubt of just how great God is. And you know, as we awaken to greater understanding, our awareness of God's intervention in our lives and His personal relationship with you, how humbling that is to think that the God of this universe is there for us at all times. I found it very interesting that if you turn with me over to Psalms chapter 23, and Mr. Nettles sung this as one of the first hymn, and it's just interesting that I wanted to hitting on the same subject. But in Psalms 23, beginning in verse 1, a psalm of David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for the namesake." And put your name in here, brethren. Put your name in there. It says, Dan, I want you to lie down in green pastures. And whatever your name is, put it in there. Going on in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what we're looking forward to. But you notice in contrast in these scriptures that there's no selfish desires expressed, but recognition of how good God is to us. And when we see the tremendous mercy that God shows in these scriptures and tie in how blessed we are, is it hard to recognize sometimes what true blessings are? Back when I had the privilege of going over to Africa with Mr. Elliott, I think that was the only trip that he made to Uganda, but we went to Tanzania, Uganda, and of course Kenya. And then at the border of Uganda, and I've told many of you guys this story before, but for those that haven't heard it, at the border we were challenged, very challenged, and to say the least. And once getting in, it was very challenged. And once we got there, it was very challenged. Mr. Charles Kasembo, who is now deceased, We were on a mission, and Liech, you know him as Mr. Elliott. He's the great white elephant in Africa, Liech. He wouldn't be perturbed. He wouldn't be drawn away from the mission that we were going to. And when we got there to the hotel, and the hotel said, there's no way you guys could have a reservation here, we pull up in this little dirty, dusty Suzuki Samurai, and there's stretch limos all over this hotel. And we walk in, dirty, dusty, stinky. And we say, our room's here. They said, no, it's not. This is for the East Conference of East African Society, and this hotel's been booked for years, or for a whole year. So, it's getting dark. We're in Uganda. First time in Uganda. We're like, wow, okay, what are we going to do? Just then, Mr. Kasimba walks up. No, I'll take you over to another hotel. It's much nicer and cheaper. Wow, okay, let's see. Well, we get over there. Sure enough, much nicer, less expensive, a great place to be. Beautiful mahogany pillars, baby grand piano in the lobby. We're in Africa, okay? We're in East Africa. Well, we get up in the morning, and we're getting ready to meet with Mr. Kasimba and his two sons. And I look out the window, and you'll never see this in the United States, is that instead of having sparrows on your telephone lines, what you have are six-foot wingspan buzzards on the lines. And it's like, wow, that's different. But then I see someone walking down the street on the other side of the street, and he has a wheelbarrow. And I couldn't really make out in the dark, and just as the sun was coming up, to see what was in the wheelbarrow. Well, when it turns out, when he gets close enough, I'm looking from the second floor and looking down, there's a man that is handicapped in the wheelbarrow. And they throw a blanket out, set him on the blanket, give him a little cup of water, a little cup of food, and off goes the wheelbarrow. Now, Uganda's right on we crossed over the equator several times, getting over to Kampala, Uganda, the capital city. And it was amazing to me that we went and met with Mr. Kasimba. We baptized Mr. Kasimba, the first baptized member in Uganda. And we finished up, and at the end of the day, we're in the hotel room, and I looked down, and there's that man again. I went up in the middle of the day, and I saw him, and he's out there begging. And he's, you know, people would throw him a little bit of change once in a while. And at the end of the day, he's still out there. Now, he's been out there for a full 12 hours in the African sun with the humidity, and his job was begging. And I tell you this because the man was smiling. And right then and there, I said, who am I to complain about anything? Because if he can be out there all day in the sun begging, I have nothing to complain about. True blessings from God. Do we recognize the true blessings of God? And the title of today's sermon is, My Cup Runneth Over. In the midst of the days of unleavened bread, as this day, at the end of this day, we start counting towards Pentecost, where you and I can become the first fruits. And as I tried to get some barley loaves as I was driving last night, and I pulled in on the field, and traffic was going by pretty fast now out in Goodyear. And then I realized there's a canal, and then I didn't realize, oh man, I got to back out of here in the traffic. So my wife and I are sitting there because it's all eroded on both sides of the road. I says, well, you know, I'll tell them about it. I'm not going to go get it. But they, believe it or not, the farmers here in the United States, I don't know if they know why they do what they do, but they sure are following God's commandments as far as the planting of the seasons. I tell you that right now. Because as it goes on, as we get towards those 50 days, you will see they will have the harvest come right around Pentecost season. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 15, you can write that down. It says, and after the Sabbath, from tomorrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So here we are in the midst of the holy days, in the midst of the days of unleavened bread, I should say. And we look forward to the time when we have the opportunity to become the first fruits of God, just as Jesus Christ was the very first fruit. And we, the first fruits, are in a hard growing season, and it starts now. Coming out of sin and darkness and into the light, we must recognize that moving forward, we cannot look back, for judgment begins at the house of God. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if the first begins at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? To whom much is given, much is required. You being the first fruit, you get your penny. You're the 14, you're the 12-hour penny. Okay? You're going to labor all day, and if those people come in at the end and get that same penny, it's okay. But we have to labor for that penny. True blessings from God allow us to sever the cord of worldliness and breathe in the life-giving understanding that these words of wisdom that you have are sitting on your lap. That is a true blessing. The true blessing of understanding God's plan of salvation. When so many people in this nation and around the world are going to be celebrating tomorrow with eggs and bunnies and all other types of things, you have to ask yourself, well, can it really be that different? Oh, it is. And you know it is. And the closer you get to God, the deeper the divide comes. But then you recognize, it's like, look, I can't throw stones. I still have to love. I still have to do the things that God has told me to do. And for those millions that have not heard the name of Jesus Christ or do not understand the message that he has given, of the millions who have heard him, they fail to recognize the plan of salvation, the holy days. What a blessing. When we say, my cup runneth over, what a blessing it is to understand God's true plan of salvation. As part of the emptying process these days, we recognize the need to get rid of the vanity, lust, and greed that fills our cup and refill our cup with love, peace, and mercy that God gives to us. You know, we look at this world and we see so many people that are what are quote-unquote rich and what they think are blessings, the Howard Hughes, the J. Paul Gettys. It's not the person who has the most toys at the end that wins. We have to look at what it is you, this small room, this room of 100 plus people, amongst a city of millions, you have the opportunity to be here and to understand the divine understanding that God is giving you. And if that doesn't give you chills up your spine, out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and you have the opportunity, what's your name? To be written into the book of life. And you know, when we look at the blessings of what quote unquote blessings of this world, let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 28. You know, I bring this out, I wasn't going to go here, but Ezekiel 28. And let's begin in I'm looking for it here real quick. Hang on. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus says the Lord of God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's what we want. We want that perfection. We want that seal of perfection. We want God's beauty to emanate from us, the love that he has. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were an anointed cherub who covered. I established you on the holy mountain of God. Where do we want to be? We want to be kings and priests, as it says in Revelation 5:10, with Jesus Christ and God the Father. He had all of this. Lucifer had all of this. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. You see, people will step over their own relatives. Some people will, with the thought process of getting rich. At what cost? At what cost? There was a famous movie, and I can't even remember the movie, but it was interesting. It says, how much is enough? And his comment was, more. More. Never enough. But we look at our elder brother who brought us true blessings with him. His time here on earth was not about acquiring wealth. Hello, he owns everything. But he wasn't here to acquire wealth, but he gave to those willingly to provide for the needy. That's what Jesus Christ was all about. Christ's ultimate sacrifice was giving his life so that all mankind, those that even stoned him, those that flogged him, those that beat him, we are included in that group. But he gave his life for us. If we keep his commandments, let's go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 10. In John chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, If we keep his commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It is that congruent coalescing, having the mind to understand and learn how God loves. That's what we're about. That's what we are looking for. Learning to love like God loves. And you know, every day we must ask, deliver us from the evil one. Because we have to recognize Satan's influence and how much he wants us to sin and cause that divide between you and your Father. So much of what we have to deal in this lifetime is sin manufactured from all angles. It's 24/7. And when you're dealing with people in the world and when you're dealing with people that aren't of a converted mind, there's always an angle that you're having to deal with to serve, to see what they can get from you, to see how they can extract from something from you. But we know that we have a God in heaven that can give to us. So if we give them our coat, he'll give us another one. He never stops with the lies. Satan never stops with the lies. Nor is there any thought of repentance within Satan or any of his demons. That concept, I don't think, really sinks in as far as what it should, because there's no forgiveness. God has wronged them. God, according to their thought process, God has done nothing but wrong them because he didn't allow them to have what they wanted to have. But we know that there's 2/3 of the angels still in the third heaven and on this earth helping us that are looking towards God to do not their own will, but God's will. The blessings we have, we can engage ourselves in learning to love like God loves, and to blot out the useless bantering that Satan is offering. directing our footsteps towards serving, giving, loving, praying for one another, meditating, doing Bible study so that we can understand God. That is how we fill our cup. And every day we have to be filled with good deeds, thoughts, and actions. We are filled when we are doing God's will. Our cup runs over when we're doing God's will and not seeking our own will. And you know, we have to discern the spirits, because you're going to run into all types of people. Let's go over to Malachi chapter 3. These days of unleavened bread, it's very interesting when we start doing the self-examination. And it's not just for today, it's forever. Forever and ever. Because, again, when the angels were created, two-thirds of them still decided to do everything that God has asked them to do. Over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "Then they shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not." Brethren, we have to see that also over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Let's go over there real quick. Because you don't know the minds that you're dealing with, and especially when you're dealing with minds that are polluted or clouded, all the different angles that have come at you, and you think that, oh yeah, this person's okay. Oh yeah, that's okay. You know what? Oh yeah, they're with me on that. No. Satan blows through, his demons blow through people's thoughts and minds, and then they, boom, they're gone, and they're back to the normal person. But there's thoughts interjected during the day that are of Satan to see how they can accuse you in front of the Father. And thank God we have the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cover our sins. But in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, Hebrews 5:14 says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, becoming skilled in what God is, in what is important to God, not important to us, what is important to God, and understand what are blessings and what are not blessings." Let's go over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we read about Pilate's wife. Actually, I'll read this to you. And it says, "When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with this man, just man, for I have suffered many things in this day, a dream because of him.'" Now you think, oh, well, she's on Christ's side. No. Imagine if Pilate would have said, "You know what, you Jews, we're not going to crucify him." That would have interrupted the plan. This thought process wasn't from God. This was another angle from Satan. You know, when you think about it, the same mind frame when Peter, when Christ rebuked him strongly in Matthew 16, verse 23, it says, "But when he turned, he said unto Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, for thou art a stumbling block to me, for you have a mindset not of the things of God, but the things of men.'" Now here's Peter thinking, oh God, I'm on your side. I'll chop the ear off if I need to. I'll fight for you. No. You don't understand the plan. The plan is that I have to die for you. Oh, okay, now I get it. Wash my feet. I mean, you're not washing my feet. Yes, to be a part of me, I have to wash your feet. And you know, it's recognizing the lesson that is being taught to you. Sometimes we think we're teachers, when a lot of times we should be the student. Because you can be taught by little children, as Christ pointed out, that we have to understand sometimes, hey, look, we think we know. We have so much to learn. It is a thought process of purging out that leaven to come to understand how much more we have to go. We have to let humbleness and obedience to God must guide us. You know, and there's know-it-alls. Everybody, I've been a know-it-all. You've been a know-it-all. Everybody gets in that know-it-all attitude. But you know, you can be right and still be wrong when you think about things in the, according to God's plan. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, had to point out to him that he needed to trust in God to help him provide as the judgments and others to assist him. I'll go ahead and read that to you in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. You know, we have to recognize, like with Job, you know, there's sometimes when you have to take a big slice of humble pie. Because we can still be doing right, but yet and still not fully understand the divine understanding, the divine plan of God the Father. God will have mercy with all with whom he will have mercy. You, some people, as we've done, I've done, no, you know what, that person, God can never deal with them. Who recorded the majority of the New Testament? Wasn't that a man who was killing Christians? Wow. We don't know where it's coming from, but just as much as Satan comes from all angles, so does God. God gives us the straight and narrow to understand, but he gives us full understanding so we can recognize when we're trying to be duped. And you know, if you go over to John chapter 12 and verse 37, you know, there were so many people here on this earth that saw his miracles, but yet and still, they didn't want to recognize him. In John chapter 12 and verse 37 says, but though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, because he saw glory, and he spake of him. Nevertheless, even the rulers of many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is God. You know, when we see people, see the absolute blasphemy that a few weeks ago, or about a month ago, Newsweek, saying that Christ was married. Huh? Where do people come up with this? But you know, it's just an out-and-out lie. Yet and still, they'll throw it out there as a fact or just to confuse people. You know, brethren, we have the opportunity, because many are called and few are chosen. And when you witness the Sunday morning messages that are going to that happen, the emphasis is placed on physical blessings and the grace of God, in contrast to repentance and obedience and absolute love of God's will. That congruent coalescing of saying that I want to love like God loves. And as it was pointed out by Mr. Elliott, that the lessons of grace turned into licentiousness is a direct reflection of who? Satan. Wanting the reward but not wanting to heed the scriptures and the message that Christ so plainly said to his followers, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's very interesting if we were to have a mirror up here and the lights were out and we shaded everything. You have to understand, we have to reflect the light. A mirror cannot reflect in darkness. And we are in darkness, Satan's darkness. You cannot see, or you have to be unwilling to recognize the works of darkness. So what part of the world do you still want to hang on to? What is it, that sin that you have that you want to hang on to that's worth giving up eternity? You have to ask yourself these things during these days and throughout your life, but as a vivid reminder, right, during these days. Because if we're walking in the light, we will reflect light. If we're walking in darkness, there's no reflection. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, Acts 4 verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them believed were of one heart and one soul, and not one of them said that they ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had these things in common." Verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles with the witness of the resurrection of the Lord and the great grace that was upon them all. For neither there was there among them any that lacked, for as many as were possessors of the lands or houses sold to them, and they brought the prices of the things that were sold." Brethren, we're going to get to that age where we're going to have to depend on one another. We're there now, okay? This group, along with all the other groups that are truly obeying to, looking to obey God in the United Church of God, we have to know that we have to look to God, but we should be able to help one another. Love one another. Give to one another. Strive for that same goal. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, "And he called unto them the multitude of his disciples and said unto them, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35, For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake shall save it." The blessing of going through the process, God is working with you firsthand. When we perceive through much prayer and meditation and fasting, when we're keeping the mindset of God, no longer allowing or minimizing the influence of Satan as much as we can and asking God to help us to do so, our measuring stick, and we can move forward. And truly, what matters in life? Because when we're pursuing worldly goals, God gets kicked to the curb, or we stress more on, oh man, I got to get all this work done. I'm working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. God should surely bless me. How about if you take a few of those hours and move it towards, let me have some more prayer time. Let me have some more study time. Let me take time to meditate more. Why? Because that is what we need to do to draw closer to God. To fear God and to keep his commandments and to walk humbly before our Lord, as it says in Micah 6:8. You know, we have to do the things that are pleasing unto God, that according to his will. Turn with me over to 1 John, 1 John 2. As we draw closer and closer to God, the wisdom that he gives us, the understanding that he's providing for us, the mindset that we are congruently going forward with God, we place less emphasis on the things of this world and more emphasis on the things that are going to matter most, and that's God's will. In 1 John 2 and verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And hereby we know him, that if we keep his commandments, he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his commandments, in him verily has the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Beloved, no new commandment I write unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning, the old commandment which is the word which you have heard. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light already shines. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit and the closeness that he had with the Father when Satan came to tempt him. If you'll notice the short, brief, terse responses when Satan was questioning him back in Matthew. And you know what? He didn't want anything to do with this vile, repulsive being. You know, it's like Satan always wants to jab at you. But you know, when you're close to God, it's like somebody on the other side of the door pounding on the door, and it gets more and more insulation. You get more and more insulation with God's word, with God's spirit, to put out that bantering. That it doesn't make, I better get that. Huh? Who's behind that door? He's not our friend. With Christ, we are insulated from the endless bantering, and the wickedness has no substance, meaning, or value. It's kind of like poi. I had the blessing of going to Hawaii, and boy, I tell you, I have no idea why anybody would want to eat poi. When we went out there, it has no flavor. And, you know, as for the locals, I guess it's something that they have to get used to. But, you know, brethren, we have every day an opportunity to refresh ourselves with Christ and with God and stay connected with God. I reckon that to a time when the opportunity at camp, when people go up to camp, and you always hear, I've never been to camp, but I know my wife, she works hard up at camp. Mr. Wolf and all the rest of the staff that go up there, they work hard during those days. They come out wore out. I go to pick up my family when the vans come back, and everybody's like, oh. Did you have a good time? Yeah, it was great. It's, okay. But you know, the aspect of camping, is that what makes people go up there? Not really. The scenery? Maybe. The people? Sometimes. Striving for the same goal, having that compass check in the morning? Yes. Being led by God's Holy Spirit? Yes. Wanting to see the plan of salvation come to fruition? Yes. Deeply desiring Satan to be put away? Yes. Jesus Christ coming back to reign supreme? Yes, 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 and yes. In conclusion, brethren, our cups run over when we capture and retain the reason why we're here, and that is to become a part of his family. Doing the things that are pleasing unto God in total obedience, so that we can help others in the future. In the spirit of cooperation, striving for the same goals, desiring God's will and not our own will, that's when our cup truly is running over. Big change is on the horizon. And yeah, there's hard times ahead, but you know what? With God, we can make it. And this is a difficult growing season that we start this evening. But we cannot fathom how great that promise is that he's given to us. Why is it so important to understand true blessings? Because our measuring stick is not on the wealth we accumulate in this life, but how full our lamps are of oil when he returns.